Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. It has been really hard to write a sermon this week. Maybe it was the dandelions, I don't know. Long weekend, you know, maybe, because there's a lot riding on the weekend. After all, we've paid our dues with this long, lingering winter, and we deserve a good weekend. Raptors basketball, maybe that's been it. I don't know. It's, you know, it's my team. It's all about my team. Did you know that over 750,000 people have signed a petition demanding that HBO rewrites the final season, season 8 of Game of Thrones? Almost a million people who are not happy with the storyline feel that the writers should redo it to suit them. Now, I don't even know where to start with that one, other than to say, that's what privilege looks like. Imagining that your comfort and opinion matter so much that art should be changed for you, that the world should revolve around your affirmation, your expectation. I'm not saying that people shouldn't express their opinions or have dissenting views or varying degrees of satisfaction. I'm just saying that it never occurred to me even once that Tolstoy might rewrite War and Peace to make it a little more cheerful for me. Or that the Mona Lisa should wear a red cardigan so she'd better fit my living room. Like, it just... So that's kept me distracted from writing a sermon. So too has the debate over abortion and a woman's right to autonomy. And climate change. And pipelines. And immigration. And education. And poverty. And who has time to write a sermon in the midst of all of that? So in the midst of such a quandary, I went to get my eyes checked. I had a vision test, because when I procrastinate, I get right to it. EMPWZTRMQYIOPKLMXBUFHGIN. Turns out I'm actually really good. Eyes are great. I can see things that others can't see, apparently. Like my friends on various aspects of so many debates and discussions, I see things that others don't see. Church is kind of like that. Some people come to church, explore their faith a little, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're living this life full of gratitude and joy. They see miracles all around them. This morning, sunrise is greeted with a glorious thank you, God, for the miracle of spring. Instead of a grumble, well, it's bloody well about time. Some people see the natural world filled with miracles. Snow and hail, stormy winds, all responding to God's command. Remember the psalm we opened with? Mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and cattle, even creeping things and flying birds all seem to be part of a universal hallelujah. The supernatural and the natural dance together in such a way that it's hard to tell which is which. And the common becomes holy and the mundane sacred as far as the eye can see. And other people, looks nice out. I have a confession to make. I faked that earlier vision test. I can't really see as well as I used to. I often wear glasses for distance, more often for up close. And so, EMPWZTRMMMICKEYMOUS. I want to see it. I try to see it. I used to see it, but I don't now, not completely anyway. Kind of like faith. You want to see it, you try to see it, but sometimes you just don't see or hear all of creation crying out to you in chorus. Sometimes I can't see a way through the divisions that are created when we talk politics or education or immigration, or pipelines, or climate change, or abortion, or human rights, or women's rights, or privilege, poverty, patriarchy. Oh my God. Maybe I don't have the right glasses. In the early days of the church, Peter seemed to have a similar problem. There were those who had always been Jewish, followed the rules around dress and conduct, particularly good with food, okay, kosher. Right? And there were those who'd come into the community because they had met or heard about Jesus, but they weren't Jewish. They didn't know the rules. They didn't care about the rules. They weren't on the team. Right? This wasn't about good basketball or good faith. It was about your team winning. Things were fine in the early days, but now the story included people who didn't follow the rules. They weren't circumcised. They ate whatever they wanted to eat, whenever they wanted to eat. They weren't the right kind of faithful people. It was going to require an entire rewrite to make this season work. But these new folks, they had no time for the ones who worshiped the rules instead of following Jesus. Jesus broke all the rules. He showed that it was the essence of the rules that mattered, not the strict capitulation of practice. Rule followers were dead to rule breakers. Clearly, they were just wrong. Raptors and bucks. Economy, environment. Compassionate or heartless. Christian or heathen, theist or atheist, us or them. Peter recognized that some of these differences were so ingrained that they just couldn't imagine a way to get past them. So he tried to help them imagine. Because you have to imagine before you can realize, right? You need a vision before you can start to build. So he spoke to them of a vision. I read it to you a minute ago, but allow me to paraphrase. All right. Right, left, proper faith, improper faith. All of you who look at each other with a mild, not outright contempt, but mild disdain, let it go. I had a vision. God gave it to me. It's a vision of what we can be. I saw this great quilt come down from heaven, and that quilt was made up of squares from your family and your family. Some of the squares were made from the finest cloth. Other were patches taken from old blue jeans. And there were rainbows and crucifixes and scimitars and stars. And there were beautiful pictures and slightly rude words. And each of these squares were stitched to squares that both complemented and challenged. Blue and orange, red and green, my family, your family. And it was a spectacularly beautiful quilt because God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make anything of lesser value. God makes us all wonderful and lovable and valuable, and we deserve to be stitched together. We need to be stitched together. And one day, if we can learn to do it here, we can show the whole world how to do it. I have a vision that'll change us and change the world. Can you see it? EMPWZTRMQYIO. That's how Peter spoke to the disappointed and invited them to be part of God's kingdom. And many of them had eyes to see. They could read the whole chart right down to the bottom. PKLMXBUFHGIN, printed Toronto, Ontario, 1964. But what about when it's more than that? What about when it's more than disappointment? What if it's more like devastation? What do you say to the victims of abuse and sexual assault? What do you say to the woman whose rights and very humanity are at risk? What do you say to the man who just buried the love of his life? The woman whose doctor has nothing but bad news? The one who's crossed a line and just can't come back? The person who can't climb out of poverty, praying for just a little food, maybe a couple of hours sleep, not filled with nightmares? What do you say to the person who doesn't want to see, just wants it to end? There's no vision. They're blinded by pain, fear, injustice, grief. Well, John of Patmos, he wrote a letter to men and women of the church in the first century. He wrote a letter to the men and women who had seen the destruction of the temple of God. Men and women who had no way to make a life in the Roman Empire. People who had no rights at all in the empire. People who were afraid that their beliefs would put them in jail or even lead to their deaths. The world as it was had little to offer them but grief, fear, and oppression. If Peter was speaking to those who were divided and disappointed, John spoke to those who were devastated and destroyed. But much like Peter, John appealed first to their imagination. Imagine a battle so great that everything changes. Imagine change so profound that nothing is the same. In the vision that we call Revelation, John imagines a change so monumental that he sees not only a new earth, but a new heaven. Have you ever dared to imagine or dream so dramatically? Not just some change, total change. Change that goes beyond adjustment, but is as fundamental as changing heaven and earth. Allow me to paraphrase John. I know that you're scared. I know that you're hungry. Hungry for food, hungry for justice, hungry for hope, hungry for freedom. You know that Jesus was God's presence in our midst. But imagine that Jesus' coming was just the beginning, the first sign. Imagine that he would come again, only not so much like before, but more. So much so that everything could change. I'm not talking about a new government or better music or new fashions or a better style. I'm talking about a change so complete, it's like the world is overthrown. And God's not just walking across water or feeding 5,000 followers. God lives with us. All of us. All of the people, all of the time, securing our rights and our value. God in person, not at a distance. And in God's presence, there is no more death, no more tears, no more injustice. Everything is new, and God is with us from beginning to end completely. Not a story or nostalgia, God's presence with us concretely. Imagine it. See it. That's what John said to them. And the people believed. Where one person had a vision, many people could now see. And they became committed to this vision and the promise of a new day. EMPWZTRMQYIOPKLMXBUFHGIN. Alleluia and amen. The divided were invited to overcome division. The devastated were invited to imagine and create a new reality. But how? How this new reality? How do we overcome division? I mean, real division, the kind that makes us shake with anger and fear. Well, from the gospel, Jesus said, I give you this commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How do we overcome division? Love. But I don't love the other side. They're not as good. They're in my way. They're wrong. Love doesn't mean agreeing. Love doesn't mean condoning, but love imagines a way by considering the welfare of the other. We know the gospel. Jesus loved the people he met, although he disagreed with an awful lot of them. Jesus loved the people he met, although most of them were not very attractive in appearance or conduct, frankly. They were egregious. Jesus loved them. He did what he did with their interests in his heart. He respected their struggle and their pain, even as he invited them to change. Not demand, not force. Invite. So they could participate. Do we dare to love like that? If we did, do you think we might overcome division? I mean, what's the more promising battle? We can fight against our enemies who simply will not see what we see. Or would we rather fight to find a way to love so completely that we not only see each other, but we share each other's visions? Which battle would you like to have? They both seem impossible. Imagine that everybody tried to love others as Jesus loved them, respectfully, extravagantly. What would happen? Well, the world would probably change completely, fundamentally. And I think that we'd see that Peter and John and their visions of quilts and battles are simply talking about radical love. Love like Jesus shared it. Love that overcomes division and love that actually changes the world. And I know, we've done this before. We tried to love one another in the 60s and it gave us a paranoid American president and a prime minister named Trudeau. So much has changed. Hardly a new heaven and a new earth, then or now. I got it. I know. We've tried love in our own lives, you and me. But honestly, we can only risk it with a couple of people, right? And even then, we still get hurt. We still feel betrayed. So is Peter off his rock? Is John just another dreamer auditioning to rewrite that last season of Game of Thrones? There are dragons in both stories. Folks, honestly, you know this. Love is risky. Love hurts. Love is almost impossible. In fact, the only way to really love is to believe that you're not doing it alone. Because you know what? Your love can't change the world. But our love can. God's love can. Believing in the presence of God, in the power of God's love, is what gives us the strength to love, even when we don't understand, even when we can't see, even when we hurt, even when common wisdom tells us, stop it, you're making a fool of yourself. It's knowing that we're not in it alone that allows us to keep trying and to try again and again and again until we get it together. It's God's love that brings us a vision, and our love together that will set the pace. Thanks be to God.
Norm.
Yes, Judy. I would be terribly offended, and I'll storm off. Okay, I'm staying with you.
Me. This is not rehearsed, is it?
I feel like I'm on the old Kreskin show. No, I've never met you before.
No.
No, this is certainly not rehearsed.
We didn't rehearse this. It's important. You would probably be a very happy person to have your dreams come true, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dream of a quilt
mm-hmm.
Is amazing. It's amazing. And I had mentioned to you a couple of months ago, maybe having a quilt hanging from here that would be all on a green theme. But I like this idea even better. And some of them could have green themes or whatever's important. And I vote that we should follow through with this. And if anybody's interested in helping, if we have any quilters, just let me know. And the rest of you think over the summer of a theme that you would like to have for your square. That's it.
Awesome.
Okay.
So much better than I imagined it was going to be when you got up to the microphone. And so now, let us pray. Loving God, let us be open to one another. Let us inspire one another. Let us not be afraid to share our visions or our hopes, even when they don't match exactly. They can be part of an amazing quilt. God, remind us
that you don't make junk, that all of us are valued and important. Our fears are real, and our love is real. And together with you, our love can change not only the world, but us too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.